This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome in our Warriors Weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. It's episode number 2. John Dickinson joined by Matt Steinmetz. And Steiny, Warriors are 6-1, my man, as we record this. They beat the Hornets at Chase Center, and they continue to have different players come up big on different nights to help them earn these wins.
I mean, you know, I have it written down here. To me, the player of the game last night was Gary Payton II. And, you know, like, JV, I think about this stuff all the time because, and I know I'm bringing James Wiseman in less than a minute into the show, but, like, Gary Payton II, that's what it's all about. It's about, can you fit into a game and help your team win? Not, you know, can I get some points here? Or it's not good enough to just be out there on the court, you know, trying to figure stuff out. And it's like, I look at the Warriors now, and they've had, you know, they're 6-1, and I think they've benefited from a little bit of a soft schedule. But nevertheless, like, you know, Gary Payton II's helped them win two games this year. He's a 15th man on the team, but he was tangible. You know, and they've just had a ton of guys like Bielitsa. There's been two games this year where he's been pretty good, and he's helped them win. When he hasn't been very good, then another guy has been good. So they need, like, you know, they're deep enough that, you know, they need 3 out of 6 guys to play well, like, outside their top five. And they've got Damian Lee. I mean, you know, Damian Lee hasn't been great in 7 games, but he's been real good in 3 or 4, and they've won them. So, like, that to me is what it's all about. And like, can you make a connection between a player who came into the game and why they won? And Gary Payton II was a big reason why they won last night.
Well, and I know this is a guy you probably want to get into as well, but you could even make the same case in a different way about Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
Jordan Poole's actually been terrible in maybe half of the Warriors games. Like, you could make a case he's been really bad, but he has a hot second half against the Lakers. Him and Bielitsa kind of help carry him until they get down the stretch. And then you look at the game against Charlotte, and the Warriors had nothing going in the first half. They were awful collectively. Now, Charlotte wasn't a whole heck of a lot better, and then they were pretty terrible in the second half. The Warriors get credit for that. But the three-point shot, and Jordan Poole specifically, he single-handedly kept that game where the Warriors were ahead by a point at halftime. And I think you can just put him in that category too, where mostly bad, honestly, we're talking about right. What a disappointment he's been. But then even he can check the box and say he's helped them win a couple.
No doubt. You know, I was thinking about last night's game. Like, you know what? The Warriors were terrible, and Charlotte was pretty terrible too in the first half. But I really thought, you know, to me, I thought it was a good game. I thought, like, to me, it was obvious that Curry, Ball, Bridges, Draymond, you know, the pool. Like, to me, it was obvious that the important players in the game, they were playing hard. like the game meant a little something, I thought. And like, I never complain about a game where teams shoot poorly. If it's a high intensity game, and I thought for a regular season game last night, that was a relatively high intensity game. So like, I don't mind guys not playing well in those types of, like, to me last night, I'm looking at it, I'm like, the first half, or you know, first 18 minutes, like nobody on the floor was really good. You know what I mean? Like Curry wasn't very good. Ball was okay. Plumlee made some, you know, but it's like, what I'm getting at is, you know, as bad as the Warriors were, you know, Charlotte wasn't good enough to take advantage of it in the first half. And then when the second half rolled around, it was just, you know, to me, it was, you know, all Warriors.
Well, and the thing I keep coming back to, and this has been true in a lot of games, and this is something that the Warriors, I think it's hurt them the last couple. I mean, 2 years ago, whatever, throw it out. Steph wasn't playing. Klay wasn't playing. They were awful. But the Warriors looked a lot last year specifically like they were trying to figure out their identity, right, and what groups played together well. And I think other teams seemed more connected, whether they had made playoff runs that went into the bubble and they were on kind of a quick turnaround where they hadn't been maybe apart from each other, or even some young teams that maybe had a core that had played together for a few years. The Warriors really up until April, and it's kind of funny, they had as decent a record as they did in a way, and that obviously all credit goes to Steph Curry for putting up MVP caliber numbers for kind of holding them up. But the Warriors now, to me, Steiny, are the team, they're more connected than all of these other teams that seemingly are coming in on a night-in, night-out basis, or they're playing. Like the Lakers are in shambles. Right. The Clippers don't have Kawhi and just aren't very good without Kawhi over the long haul. I think, you know, you look at some of the, it's just, you know, Sacramento's got a young core. They actually played the Warriors pretty tough because they've played together a little bit more, but the Warriors seem almost ahead of the curve right now, again, for the first time in a few years.
Right. And the exception there is Memphis. Memphis is together. Memphis essentially is the same guy. So I look at them as comparable to the Warriors. I totally agree. And I think that's where I'm a little bit, and I think we were both a little bit surprised because we looked at the early season, and I know they had eight games at home, but I did think they were a little more vulnerable early in the season because I was thinking, you know, the three new guys, Porter, Iguodala, and Bielitsa, you know, first of all, how much can they give you? And then secondly, you know, how long is it going to take for them to kind of fit in? Well, they kind of know, you know, I guess like the thing I learned about Bielitsa and Porter is they're obviously smart guys because they can play like this. What's like this? It's basically take an open shot when you get it, make the right pass, and, you know, try to play unselfishly and move without the ball. And it's like, to some players, that's easy. And I think the Warriors found a couple players where that's how they play. And if you play like that, it's really not that hard to figure it out. I think the thing, and I maybe shouldn't get ahead of ourselves here, but I'll just do it for a minute. You know, now I'm starting to think when Klay gets back, that's when we're really going to see some adjustments need to be made. And, you know, who shots does he take? Whose minutes does he take? And I don't want to spin this negative, but, you know, guys are like, Klay's not going to play as much as he wants. So he's going to have to figure it out, not to mention coming off an injury. You know, Poole's probably going to have some of his minutes taken. Is that going to affect him? Could he possibly be better in less amount of minutes? Well, that's how you become a really good team. So I'm also interested to see kind of, you know, Wiggins, you know, how Wiggins plays when Klay Thompson gets back. You know, you wouldn't think that would be an issue because Wiggins isn't the most aggressive player. You know, maybe Wiggins just becomes a third or fourth scoring option and kind of focuses on defense. And you know what? He might be okay with that. So, but there are going to be a lot of adjustments down the line. Here's the thing. I know I'm babbling. I think there are going to be a lot of adjustments when Klay comes back. like there are going to be any adjustments when Wiseman comes back. Like Wiseman is going to have to earn every minute that he plays. And I just
He's not going to play. I think they are going to have to carve some minutes out. Like, I do think Steve Kerr, when he gets his little card out that he writes down kind of how he wants to, all right, I'm going to sub this guy for that guy. You know, your initial plan, if you will, for how you want to try to distribute minutes. I think he is going to have to find a few 5-6 minute shifts for him in a game. But I think that's about it. And just because you get the first 6 minute shift, doesn't necessarily mean if you're trying to win in the second half, you're going to get the second half shift.
Yeah, no, I think you're right on. And just hearing, you know, Steve Kerr the other day in an interview, he said basically, we kind of threw James Wiseman into the deep end of the pool last year. Well, because we had this kind of team and we're coming off this, that, and the other thing. He basically said, this year we're going to keep it very simple for him. You know, try to get him to really get some expertise in the dunker spot. And so what I'm thinking is he's going to have trouble playing. I think he is. And, you know, to me, the more Wiseman doesn't play, the more it's probably going to be an indication that the team's pretty good. You know what I mean? And so hopefully that'll mitigate the where's Wiseman. Well, guess what? They're 17-5. He's not good enough to play right now, period.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be a problem that will only pop up when the Warriors don't play well. Like, if they go through a little bit of a – and I think the same's going to be true to a lesser extent with Kuminga and Moody, because I think – and, you know, we talked about this in the first show we did last week. You know, fans are going to get to a point where, hey, this is all great, but when is the candy coming, right? When is Moody going to play? And I think you look at the way Gary Payton II has played, and I think I'll relate this back to Clay, and Steve Kerr said this in the post-game press conference last night. Payton's going to have to play every night, like for now. It's not going to be spot minutes or a game here, and then he doesn't play, and then he does. Like, he's in the rotation because – he brings that much of an impact in ways that complement the other players that are going to play. So he's just in.
Exactly.
Well, if he's in, then that means Moody's never playing unless there's maybe some kind of injury.
Moody / Kuminga. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, and I don't expect Gary Payton II to play like this all season, but if he's kind of, you know, he's playing, if you take these first seven games and that's who he is, they're not going to be able to get him off the floor. And I'm talking about Moody, Kuminga, and I mean, that might be it, but you know what I'm saying?
But they built the whole thing, and this is where maybe I didn't see it until the preseason and certainly these first now seven games as we record this. Our Warriors Weekly podcast, by the way, episode 2, John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz for 95.7 The Game. They really did build where, okay, Jordan Poole was going to start, but they also had Damian Lee that was going to play, and they knew Klay Thompson was going to come back, and Poole was going to be the backup lead guard for Steph. And then they brought in Chioza, you know, in case you need a few extra minutes here and there. And now Peyton's playing as a guard in that mix. And then you got Moody, who's kind of the understudy behind them. And they did it because Kuminga plays, I think, as a 4 or even a 5 at this point.
Right. Certainly a 4, yeah.
And it's the same, you know, Draymond is obviously going to be the 4, but then they've got JTA and they've got Porter and they've got Bielitsa. And I know Bielitsa's playing some 5, but and then they've got Kuminga. It's almost like they've created two options that they can go to before they have to go to the young player and just throw them in there. And that's a nice problem to have. And I wasn't sure that the roster was quite good enough or deep enough to kind of have it like that, but they have been to this point.
They have been, and that's why you know, I guess the way you say it first is this is a really, you're right, it's a great problem to have. Because Wiseman's 20, you know, I got three 20-year-olds essentially. And but look at their team. Their team is, it's a high IQ team. I think we can acknowledge that. Curry's a smart player. Iguodala's a smart player. You know, Draymond Green's a technician. You know, he's a genius. Looney is a smart player. Just because of their inexperience, those three guys are not going to be able to assimilate quickly enough to get these smarts that Bielitsa just has. And that, you know, I get the sense Otto Porter kind of has it too. Just a know-how of how to play. And I think you know, it's all. And the other thing is, everyone's like, "Well, what about Wiseman? Can Wiseman get good enough during Steph's window so that they can win enough?" It's like they might be there without Wiseman. This team might be a top six, five. You know, let's just say top six or eight now, and they don't even need Wiseman. So that's good. That means they made some great moves outside of Wiseman.
And it also gives them options to where if they look up at the end of this season and say, hey, we're X or Y away from thinking we're the best team in the league or the best team in the West, you have the flexibility to go make that move. And it doesn't have to be Ben Simmons. And I'm throwing names out there, but what if it's a guy that's a hell of a lot better than Ben Simmons? What if it's a guy that's a better fit than Ben Simmons? And I always pause to go down this road too far, but what if a Jaylen Brown comes available or something? Right. Because the Celtics are going to bust it up and they've got some internal issues, or somebody like that, somebody that's like, wait a minute, you can get that guy now for this, for those two, you know, maybe Kuminga and Wiseman and a couple of firsts and Wiggins at that point, because you never know when there's going to be the team. I always go back to Anthony Davis and the Lakers. For how many years did we hear about how the Lakers had this young group of players and they were going to pick two or three of them and they were going to send them to the Pelicans? And it was almost like they were at a stalemate for, felt like, the whole time that Davis was in the league, really, after his first couple years, where it was like, which one of those young Laker players was going to go? And I kind of feel like the Warriors, and look, those guys were farther along and they were playing ball and Kuzma and Hart, you know, what all, that group that wound up going to the Pelicans. But eventually something breaks free and a team is able to put – and sometimes that package isn't as much as you think it's going to be when that moment finally comes.
Right. I mean, hell, I could almost – you could almost throw Zion in there. And I get it. He's hurt and, you know, he doesn't look great now. But, you know, he puts 2 months of basketball in and he's going to look real good. But you're right, like – it always happens. Players come available and you don't anticipate it, but it also takes longer than you think. You know, you're right. They may make a move next off season for a guy that we don't even know right now will be available. Go ahead.
No, I just was going to say, you look at all of the, you know, different ways that trades get done. And I think, you know, there are going to be options for this team, but you have to be patient, and then not miss the window, right? When the deal that is the no, like the Warriors are in a spot where they can almost wait right now for the no-brainer deal. And I'll tell you another thing. This, because this relates back to a problem that the Warriors had the last couple years, and even I think this year, although they did better in getting Bielitsa and Porter, but the belief among players in the league that the Warriors can't win it, and that may be hurting the types of free agents or types of players that want to come and join along. Well, what fixed that the first time? What made the Warriors, Steiny, be wanted? It was the fact, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this, it was the fact that they went out and won at an extremely high level without everybody else. Like, they did it on their own and established, you know, they won 73 games, and then it was everybody wanted to come along for the ride. including Kevin Durant.
Right.
But it's interesting because if this team goes out and is the one seed this year in the West, or is it top seed and makes a run, gets to the conference finals, all of a sudden that door, I think, is going to be a little bit more open for players to want to join in. You're still going to have to give up something to get those players, though.
No, I agree. You think they could be the best team in the Western Conference?
At this point, Utah – and look, we're 2 weeks in, but at this point, to me, it's – I mean, them and – Utah's connected. You talk about teams that are connected. Right. They've had that same group. I think they're playing at a high level. I mean, I'm not real high on Denver right now. I'm not real high on Portland and Dallas right now.
Memphis.
And the Lakers are fit. Yeah, Memphis, I think. But is Memphis going to be the two seed? You know, I don't know.
I don't either.
Yeah, we'll see. but the only team right now where I would say, I just think the Warriors have that, what we were talking about earlier. They're in a better place. And look, the Lakers are going to be good. What are the Clippers right now? And you know what? When's Kawhi coming? Let me tell you, the Clippers are going to win about 44, 45 games. And they might be the sixth seed, or they might be in the play-in, and Kawhi may come back or he won't. I mean, how much you want to bet? It's like, yeah, Kawhi's coming back here, and then he's not. Right. And then he is, and then he doesn't. And then maybe he never does. And so they're going to have to live that all year, and it's not going to help them. And, you know, God bless Paul George. He had his run in the playoffs last year when Kawhi went out. But you know what? Paul George ain't carrying a freaking team in the Western Conference to 50 wins. He don't give a damn enough about the regular season to do that.
No, you're right, and that's why kind of, the regular season. Like, if Curry can kind of – like, Curry's not playing great. They're 6-1. And I don't care what anybody says about Draymond on the offensive end. He's still Draymond at the offensive end. They're 6-1. So, the reality is the Warriors, they actually have a guy who can carry him in Curry to 50 wins. Well, guess what? He's not even doing that, and they're a 50-win team, let's say, right now. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but you know what I mean. I mean, Curry's – like, they're 6-1, and Steph's been very average. For Steph.
What's that?
For Curry.
Yeah. No, for Curry, for sure. All right, we got about 5 minutes or so to go here. I wanted to hit you with three things I've jotted down. We got into Clay a little bit. I wanted to give you my Clay. I think there is going to be an adjustment period when Clay comes back. But I also think you look at his game, they're going to be better off for all the options that they have. Like, they can almost protect Clay from himself because they have other options.
Sure.
And Steve Kerr's also going to – you know what? If Jordan Poole is terrible defensively and he's – on one of those bad streaks that we've seen, well, maybe Jordan Poole's not playing and Gary Payton is, or
right.
Damian Lee. But Steve Kerr's going to have to get it right. That's the one thing. And this team is full of, and I think it's only going to be extended when Clay comes back, and even Wiseman to a certain extent. Kerr's going to have to pick the right night to play Otto Porter over Bielitsa, or Bielitsa over Looney, or Payton over Lee, or Poole's not going to play tonight because Clay, there's going to be a lot of those things that, as long as they win, they won't get questioned. But the moment they don't, it's going to be, well, wait a minute, because you have so many like players, how come you aren't playing this guy or that guy more?
It's exactly like a baseball manager who's going to need to deal with his bullpen.
Yeah.
And okay, I've used this guy two nights in a row. I got to sit, one thing I was thinking about Clay, and because one thing we know about this is, and this could be the part that's difficult for the Warriors, if we watch Clay play for a month and it's obvious he's not the player he was, at least in the beginning, and so then what do you do? You know, then it's like, you know, I know it's hard for Warrior fans to consider, but maybe Clay's a negative early. And I know he plays a kind of game where he's never going to be a real big negative, but, you know, look, he's well above average at both ends of the floor. He set a standard that's really, really high, and it's unrealistic he's going to be able to get back there the first 2 or 3 months. In fact, it's unrealistic.
I almost look at it, you know me, I like to look at the best case and the worst case, right? Well, let's look at the, I think the worst case would be Clay maybe athletically doesn't have what he used to have in the tank. And that affects offense. It affects defense. I think it probably affects defense more. But I almost feel like with Clay, even the worst case with Clay Steiny, he still could be a 20-minute a night shooter. Like, and yeah, the worst case, you could pop him in a game, sure, and if he's hot, he plays almost like a sixth man, right, in a way.
Yeah, no, I think there's something there for sure.
For this year.
Yeah. No, you're right. There's two other things.
The IQ. The IQ of this team is exponentially better than the IQ of last year's team.
No doubt.
And no doubt. Kelly Oubre last night, as we record this, I mean, woof. I mean, that was, but how many times did we see that kind of game? And look, I kind of defended him, I think, more than most. Like, I think he helped the Warriors more than, honestly, he got credit for, especially early in the season.
Right.
Clearly not a fit. Clearly the right move to not bring him back. Clearly there was something going on where he thought he was a little better than he is. But, I mean, this team's a lot smarter than the teams that we've seen them have.
No, I agree. And I tell you what, that wins you a lot of games in the NBA, especially against teams that aren't very good. You know, like OKC, for example. You know, all you got to do is be conscientious and you're going to go out there and beat them.
And then the last one I had for you, Steiny, as we wrap it up, is this whole thing with Curry and his minutes and the weird Steve Kerr tinkering with him. And, you know, he's pulling him out with 4 minutes to go in the first quarter now. And he's had him with the start of the second and fourth quarter group last night. What do you think is going on there? Because I know from, you know, hearing Steph and talking to Steph in the past and Steph has been pretty open in saying he doesn't like that routine being messed with.
Right.
Yet collectively, I think Steve probably went to Steph and asked him, and Steph's rolling with it for now. But just what's your theory on the tinkering? Because, you know, it seemed like they were pretty set, but Steve Kerr's always kind of tinkering, especially early, and this is kind of the latest example.
Well, I've always wondered why they haven't attempted to do what the Jazz used to do with Stockton, because the biggest issue for Curry in his playing time in his entire career since he became a superstar was, when's he coming back in the fourth quarter? Right. He's coming back with 10 minutes to get him back with 10. Can we get him back with 8? Can we get him back with 6? That's ideal. 6. Well, you know, I mean, the problem can be solved by playing Steph the first 6 minutes. You take him out the first quarter from the 6 minute mark to the end of the second, to the end of the first quarter, play him the second quarter, play 6 minutes of the third. You get him out the end of the third, and then he can play the whole fourth quarter if he wants. Or maybe you do it where he plays, you know, 16 minutes in the first half, and then the second half, he plays the first 6 minutes of a half of the third quarter. You get him out for the remainder of the third quarter, and then you have the option to either play him the whole fourth quarter or maybe 10 minutes, maybe 8 minutes, but it won't, like, you could be able to do whatever you want there, knowing if he plays the whole fourth quarter, you're still not blowing his minutes out of the water.
What do you how much of it, if anything, you think is just the combination of him and Poole playing together or versus who Poole needs to play with? And I don't know that we've seen enough.
I don't know
the answer.
Maybe that's something I guarantee you Kerr knows way more. Like, you know, Kerr's probably with his coaches, and he can say something like, well, we can't play Poole and Steph together more than 5-6 minutes ahead, you know. And I'm sure there's a bunch of those that they know that we haven't figured out yet, or maybe never will. But I do think there's something to a lot of this being who can play with whom.
Yeah, and the conditioning aspect of it too. Like, is there something maybe going on with Steph health-wise? Because I thought it was a little weird, the answer last week about well, we want to keep his minutes. You know, all of a sudden it wasn't 34, 35. It was 32, 33. And I'm thinking, right. Well, you maybe aren't going to be able to do that as much as you'd like, but you want to pick your spots while the rest of the team is playing well and helping you win. All right, good stuff, my man.
Yes, sir.
Episode 2 in the books, our Warriors weekly podcast for 95.7 The Game. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.